Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are part of Centers for Spiritual Living. And I welcome you here this morning. I'm so glad you came to spend your morning with us and with each other. And if you are new today, from the very bottom of our hearts to yours, we're so glad that you joined us today. Welcome. And so let's start the service by reading our mission statement that's on the front of your bulletin. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So that's what we're doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is we're giving ourselves the opportunity to feel and sense and know and remember that, yes, we are individualized expressions of that one infinite presence, infinite power. We are incarnations of love and peace and wholeness and good, that we can never be separate or apart from that source of all things because it expresses as all things. So that means then that what is the nature of spirit, the nature of the divine, is our own divine nature. That means that we cannot be separate then from intelligence or order or peace or love or good because it is innate to our being. So what happens is, as we wake up to that fact that we are spiritual beings here having a human experience as incarnations of that one, that then when the world is not being kind or caring or generous or peaceful, we aren't as reliant on the world to be that for us because we can tap into that within ourselves. And so as we then anchor into our own peace and bring that forward, or our own love and bring that forward, we transform our relationships, we transform the conversations we're having, we transform whatever it is that we are involved in. And because everything is connected to everything else, we are part of this collective whole of humanity, what we do contributes to that whole. And so as we act from peace or love or kindness or generosity, that acts as ripples on the pond and affects the whole because everything's connected to everything else. And so I thank every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be being a beneficial presence in this world, and to be expressing your own spirit in a way that only you can do. So thank you for that. Have you noticed how easy it is to get so focused on all the things that there are to do and your busyness in doing them, your busyness and your focus on accomplishing and doing and producing, that ends up taking almost the majority of your focus as you move through your life? Sometimes, too, that rushing around to get those things done cause us, and that busyness in our minds, cause us to actually not really be present to the good that is at hand. It keeps us from being present to the beauty that is surrounding us. It keeps us from being present to the magnificence that is around us, and keeps us present from being present really with our own selves. And Centers for Spiritual Living teaches us and says that good is all around us, that we live in this field of good, and that the very nature of life is good. But oftentimes we aren't really present to that good, and one of the other reasons is because we get so focused on the trauma and the drama in our own lives, as well as the trauma and the drama that's going on in the world outside of us. We certainly know that that is what the media focuses on, all of the drama and the trauma that has happened in this world. And what happens is, because we are so bombarded with those messages and with that focus on the negative things that are happening, that it can feel overwhelming to us. It can feel huge to us, like take on gigantic proportions that aren't really accurate about what the reality of our whole entire life is. And sometimes we even get kind of addicted to that trauma and that drama, and we find there's something going on in the world that's really traumatic, and we keep focused on it. We keep reading about it over and over again, or we watch it on TV, or we listen to it, even though we already know the story, again and again, because we're kind of addicted to that. But when we're rushing around, doing so many things that we have to do, and when we're caught up in the drama of the world, what happens is sometimes as we go to sleep to our own spirit. We go to sleep to our own spiritual nature and to the spiritual nature of life. We go to sleep to our own spiritual beingness and to that knowing that good is present and that good is all around us. But when we stop and we check in with our innermost selves, what our innermost selves really want is they want to not feel overwhelmed. They want to not be dragged down by the events of the world or the events of our lives. Instead, what we would like to be able to do is to have a spiritual perspective. To have that spiritual perspective about our own lives and about the world as we move through the world, as we move through our busyness, as we move through the tumult of the world, because there certainly is tumult in the world. It's not that it's not there. We would really like to be present to the good, present to the beauty that is all around us all of the time. But the truth is, we are only present to that good. That good is only present to us when we are present to it. The beauty, the good, the wonder, the miraculous is only present for us when we are present to it. And so there's a story that says, as I drive home on a narrow curving road, someone tailgates me, itching to go faster, not knowing that he is flesh and fragile. Sick of pressure, I pull onto the gravel shoulder, let him shoot by, and then on my right, I catch sight of a great blue heron. Standing tall and still in the aisle made by two rows of towering trees, like a priest in feathered robes, he bows his head three times before an altar of mountain bluffs. It's dusk, and the moon just rising illuminates his wings as they open in benediction for evening flight. His parting call, stay awake. Holiness may spread its wings for you at any moment. We want to be present to that kind of thing, to the beauty, to the miraculousness of life. We long to be in that place where we recognize the sacred, where we recognize the beauty that surrounds us, where we recognize our connection with everyone and everything. We want to feel our own spirit and feel our own divine nature. And absolutely, we want to be open to and experience the good. We want to be able to live our lives as we're moving through them, seeing through spiritual eyes, rather than judgment and separateness and irritation and fear. How about you? Would you rather live with irritation and fear and judgment and separateness? Or would you rather live your life connected to your own spirit and seeing through the eyes of your spirit, recognizing the sacred around you and the good that's all around you? But when we don't take the time to connect and reconnect with our own inner beingness, with our own self, we can sometimes forget that the nature of life is spiritual. We can sometimes forget that we are actually on a spiritual path. And when we forget that we are on a spiritual path, what happens is then we lose that commitment to live a spiritual life. We lose the commitment to see through those eyes, even if it's just momentary. And so in The Art of Being, Reverend Dennis Merritt Jones says this. Once in a while, I will have a first-time visitor at our center seek me out after a Sunday celebration service just to tell me that they have finally found the spiritual home they've been seeking for so long. They have finally had the spiritual experience that they just couldn't get at, quote, all the other churches they visited. And I will absolutely, unquestionably, without a doubt, see them again next week so that they can continue to deepen their spiritual life. Seldom do I see them the following week or any time after that. Why? Because the spiritual glow wore off 20 minutes after they left church, after they left the parking lot, and they are now off to some other church continuing their quest. Human nature is funny, isn't it? Many of those desperate for a spiritual life continue to look for it outside of themselves, believing that it has come through some sacred entity or that it can simply be scheduled for a Sunday morning between 9 and 10:30 a.m. The truth is, while some religions and ministers would love to have us believe it, the church isn't responsible for, or for that matter, capable of giving anyone a spiritual experience or lifestyle. A church, a minister, and rituals are great reminders for our connectedness to God, but the experience must always be a, quote, inside job. As for lifestyle, what about the other 6.5 days of the week? This is where mindfulness comes in. The fact is that life is a spiritual experience. We simply need to awaken to it. There is as much of God's presence in us and around us when we are mowing the lawn, taking a shower, taking out the trash, signing a business deal, or changing the baby's diaper as there is in the most sacred temple, ashram, mosque, or church on the planet. We don't have to change into any special clothes or even say any special words. It's as simple as remembering to remember that every action we take is sacred. Every relationship we enter into in the course of the day is sacred. Every breath is sacred. Every holy instant is sacred. Your life is a sacred thing. That is a profound thought, isn't it? Think about this. You don't have to seek a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual experience. That's the place we long to be. Awake. Awake to our spirit. Awake to our spiritual nature. Awake to the sacredness of everyone and everything, of all things. And so the title of my talk today is No Time for Sleeping. And what I'm talking about is how being awake changes our perspective. It changes our perspective about life, about ourselves, and about other people. And when we are awake, we actually experience more joy and more love and more peace. Anyone want to be there? Every single moment in our lives invites us to stay awake, to be awake, to wake up. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says, "As you awaken, you will realize you are awakening to yourself." That's what's happening. We're waking up to who we really are as spiritual beings. And so what does it mean, awake? What does awake mean? I'm going to talk about that today. I'm going to talk about 4 different things that I think it means to be awake, or what is required to be awake. I think the first one is, in order to be awake, it takes a willingness to question things and to question your own perspective. takes a willingness to realize that your everyday perception of things might not be accurate, or it might not be a complete understanding that things are much more complex than what they appear to be on the surface. It could be akin to walking in someone else's shoes. When you walk in someone else's shoes, that is what allows you to understand why they are the way they are and how they are, once you understand from their perspective. I think realizing that our perspective is not always accurate, just that in itself loosens the grip on our judgment about people. Our judgment about people and things. Just knowing that we might not know the whole story. That what we think might not be the whole picture. And when we are able to see from that greater perspective, other people become more kin to us than they are when we are in that judgment. Makes me think of all the gender issues that are going on in our country right now. Do you know that in the Hindu religion, there are considered to be three genders? And the third gender is called Hijra. That in Islam and in the Quran, there are four genders. In Native American traditions, there are four genders. In Judaism and in the Talmud, which is the central text of Judaism and, quote, a guide to daily life, there are eight genders. Wow, who knew? That might make me think that my concept of gender being binary might not actually be the whole picture, or I might not be actually right if that's what my thinking is. That might be a partial perspective or a limited perspective. It also makes me think of Father Gregory Boyle and the work that he's doing. I know lots of us have read his books in here. He works with people who are ex-gang members and people who have been recently released from prison. And he's written several books. And in his book, part of what he talks about is their life experience, and often about the abuse that they endured as children, the neglect that they endured as children, and how that has caused them to have the beliefs they have about themselves and the belief they have about life. Having an understanding of what they have gone through that has caused them to act the way that they are acting in the world gives me such a greater perspective, and it gives me greater compassion, and I feel love for them, and I feel connected to them. That's all from having a bigger perspective than our original thought, our original judgment, our original perspective of someone or something. And so to me, the second thing that I'm going to talk about, what it means to be awake, is to recognize that our life and every single person's life on this planet is a spiritual path, that we are all on a spiritual path. And that life, by nature, is spiritual. Each person's life, by nature, is spiritual. So that what that means, then, is that if we are each on a path of growth and unfolding and self-discovery, if every person is on that path, then who am I to judge where they are on their path? And how can I even understand what it is they are trying to understand, gain, bring forward, discover, be? But what I can know is where they are. It is serving their soul in doing that. It also makes me realize that everything that we encounter is an opportunity for us to unfold, to discover more about who we are, to discover our power, to discover a deeper and a more expansive and inclusive kind of love, to discover our strength or our wisdom or our goodness or our oneness. So part of being awake then means recognizing that there is a bigger picture than what it is that we see going on the surface. that bigger picture is that spiritual path, that there is more to life than what we see on the surface. That means we allow ourselves to be teachable, and it also means that we step up and act as the change that we wish to see in the world, because that is part of our unfolding and self-discovery. And so the third thing that I think is included in being awake is that we understand that we get to choose how we view the world. That we can choose the world through judgment, choose to see the world through compassion or through judgment. That we can see the world through the eyes of fear, the eyes of being separate from each other, or we can view the world through our heart and our connection and our oneness. When we are awake, we live connected to our self, our capital S self. When we are awake, we are connected, live our lives connected to our spirit, and we live our lives connected and aware of the truth of oneness, that we are connected to every living thing on this planet. We are all connected. And then the last thing that I'm going to talk about, what it means to be awake, is that when we are awake to the beauty and to the magnificence that is in every single moment of our lives. The miraculous and the beauty in the mundane. That might mean things like you notice the clouds in the sky, or you notice the wildflowers that are growing in the empty lot or out of the crack in the sidewalk. It might mean that you notice the beauty in a baby's face, or the beauty in the love that that mother is sharing with that baby. It might mean that you recognize and see the joy that is being shared amongst friends. Or even, how about just the miracle of the fruits and vegetables that we get to eat? The variety of colors. That is miraculous. Those things come out of the earth. That is a miracle, all for us to consume. Or how about just recognizing the kindness of strangers? All of that is being awake. I went to a concert this week at the Nature Center at El Dorado Park, and it was so much fun. It was beautiful weather and a beautiful breeze, and of course there was music, and so many people in the audience were singing along to the music, which was super fun. And there were old friends greeting each other who hadn't seen each other in a while. And there were people who were making new friends that were there. And of course, it's so incredible just to be in nature with the green trees around and the pond and the birds. It was just absolutely lovely. I rode there with one of my friends who's a member here, Ginger, and when we were driving to the park, her battery light came on the dashboard of her car. And she was concerned and was talking about these weird things that have been going on with her car, other kinds of things. And so we went to the concert and enjoyed it, and we are dancing. People are dancing up on stage. We're dancing in the back. It was just the celebration and this joy of life. And so I told her when we were going to leave, I said, why don't we follow you home? Because Colleen had come, and I was going to go home with her. We'll follow you home just in case something happens to your car. So we're driving home. Lo and behold, her car dies in the middle of the street right as we're entering an intersection. And she has no electrical anything in her car. None of the electric. She can't roll her windows down. Nothing's working. So I'd run up to her car to ask her, and she says, nothing's working. The car won't go. And as I jump out, lo and behold, the guy in the truck behind us, he jumps out. There's a guy riding his bicycle down the sidewalk. He lays his bike down and comes and jumps out to push her through the intersection. That is miraculous. That's what I'm talking about, is just being awake to the miraculous that is happening at every single moment. The music, the singing, the connections, nature, people helping, the fact that there's a mechanic that can fix that car, that's miraculous. Just Jack Kornfield, in his book, Buddha's Little Instruction Book, says, those who are awake live in a constant state of amazement. Those who are awake live in a constant state of amazement. Is all it takes is perspective. It's a perspective of seeing through those eyes. And so there's one question that's on your little insert. And so I'm going to ask you that. And if you would like a pen, if you don't have a pen, will you raise your hand? And so I invite you to close your eyes. Those who are getting pens will get there in an instant here. To close your eyes and to ask yourself, what would I do if I were more awake? What would I do differently? How would I be? What would I do if I were more awake? And when that answer comes to you, just to write it down. What would I do if I were more awake? What would I do if I were more awake? And the reason I ask you to write it down is because it helps you remember it. And so here's the cool thing. If you are more awake, you would be doing that thing, but just doing it helps you awaken. Just practicing doing that helps you be more connected to your own spiritual nature, to your own spirit. And so do that thing this week. Friedrich Hebbel says, what you can become, you already are. What you can become, you already are. It's just about fanning that flame. And so I'd like to share another story with you. This is by Reverend Scott Aubrey. He says, there once was a very great and holy rabbi. Whenever misfortune was threatening the Jewish people, he would go to a certain part of the forest to meditate. There, he would light a fire and say a special prayer, and miracle of miracles, the misfortune would be averted. After he died, tragedy once again threatened the Jews, and one of his disciples sought help from heaven. He went to the same place in the forest and said, O Lord our God, ruler of the world, I do not know how to light the fire, but I know how to say the prayer. And miracle of miracles, it was accomplished. Many years later, another rabbi feared for the lives of his people, but he had only heard the vague tales about this tradition. Yet desperate for a miracle, he went into the forest and prayed, O Lord, I do not know how to light the fire. I do not know the prayer, but I do know this place, and I trust that it is enough. It was, and the miracle occurred. Generations later, yet another rabbi wanted to help his people overcome misfortune. He sat at home and spoke to God, saying, I have no idea where the place is in the forest. I cannot light a fire. I do not know the prayer. All I can do is tell you the story. I hope it is sufficient. And again, the miracle occurred. We don't have to figure out the exact belief system or get things just right. It's about waking up to our birthright and the longing to be connected. It isn't something we earn. We just have to accept it. It's grace. How blessed we are when we mindfully reside in our rightful place in the universe. We don't have to do it perfectly. We just have to live with intention and stay awake to that intention. And so my invitation to you this week and my recap is to recognize that your perceptions might be partial perceptions. They might be incomplete perceptions. There might be other things that you aren't actually seeing. And remember that you and everyone else in this entire world is on a spiritual path. That means that there is always a bigger picture than what you're seeing on the surface. There is always something more happening than what it looks like. And to remember that you can choose how you look at the world through judgment, through fear, or through your heart and through your spirit. And so especially this week, stay awake to the beauty that is in every moment. Stay awake to the miraculous that is everywhere, the miraculousness of everything. And as you do that, you'll be experiencing more joy and more love and more peace. Awake to your own spirit and awake to the spiritual nature of life. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of remembering, this path of bringing your spirit into this world and living as the magnificent spiritual being that you are. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in joining consciousness together on truth. And so we turn our attention right now to the capital T, truth. That yes, indeed, that infinite presence that is a presence of absolute intelligence and goodness, the energy of life, love itself, is everywhere present, even in the places that we can't see it. For it is spirit expressing itself. And everything in this material world is the outpicturing of that life, of that creativity, of that goodness. And so today we recognize that we are incarnations of that one. That one presence is in us and through us, around us, and is us. It is our own divine nature. It is our own spirit. For we are emanations of that. Emanations of that creativity. And that peace, that power, that wholeness, that light. And so today, as we turn our attention to that, we create greater room for it to express itself in our lives. For when we make room for it, it pours itself forth. For it has always been there, simply awaiting our recognition of it. Simply awaiting our saying yes. And so today we say yes to the presence of spirit, the presence of life, the presence of our own divine nature. And so as we turn to the one turns to us and pours out a blessing that has always been there. And today in our acceptance, the good floods into our lives. It floods into our relationships. It floods into our homes, into our places of work, into all that we do. The good abounds. And for that, I am grateful. And I speak this word not just about us, but I speak this word about every single person on this planet, that each person also is an incarnation of that one. And that means then that the intelligence and the goodness and the love is present in them right now. And so what I claim and know is that that presence is alive and well and active and present and unfolding itself right now through all of humanity. It is unfolding itself right now through every decision maker and every politician, every person of power, every leader of every country. Love and truth and light and goodness and the realization of oneness, the oneness of humanity. And so with a grateful heart, I release this prayer into the creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself all around us right now, simply because we have turned our attention to it and created space for it to come into this world. And so with a grateful heart, I release this prayer, and I invite you to join me in saying, "And so it is."
And so it is.
So I have a couple of invitations for you. And Barbara, will you open that door and ask Marty to come stand in the doorway? So one of my invitations is we are having a fundraiser pancake breakfast on July 30th at Chris Braunschweiger and Peggy Toole's house. There is a sign-up sheet in the back. We'd love to have you join us. We are not doing Sunday service. Instead, we are going to do a pancake breakfast, and we're going to do an outreach project, which is writing cards that are going to go to people that are serving in the military and cards that are going to people who are living in a convalescent home. So we invite you to join us. We invite you to sign up today so we start getting an idea of who wants to come. The fundraiser is $20, and you're invited to bring friends, family, whoever you want, and we hope that you'll join us that day. My second invitation is we're having three birthdays, actually. Yesterday was Marty Bunch's birthday. Tomorrow is Marisha's birthday and Carol Borowick's birthday. So I invite you to sing happy birthday.
Guys? Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marley, Carol, and happy birthday to you. All right.
And the other invitations are just to follow us on our social media accounts that are on your insert, that our Sunday talks come out on Monday, if you would like to be on our email list. Talk to this guy. He is the one that is in charge of that, and you'll make sure that you get the talks land in your inbox then, as well as the things, that, announcements of the things we're doing. We also have prayer support after church. If you would like prayer support, our practitioners are happy to pray with you. Ray is a practitioner. Barbara in the back, and David, will you raise your hand? They're happy to sit and pray with you about anything that you would like. We also have prayer shawls in the back. If you would like to gift one to someone or to yourself, you can pick a prayer shawl. The practitioners will pray over it for your specific desire, and then you can take that with you and wrap yourself in that energy of prayer if that's something you would like. So I invite you to repeat after me. Good fills my life now.
Good fills my life now.
I step into it.
I step into it.
I own it.
I own it.
I celebrate it.
I celebrate it.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Thank you, dear.